Again,
hey Facebook.
So we're starting off the podcast. We're doing Facebook Live. Check out our social media church page. But thanks guys so much for checking out the podcast. So to kick it off, we got an update. Niels, why don't you share what's going on?
Yeah. So our good friend. Hold on, I got both going on there.
So when you're doing Facebook Live, you go to check on, and it sometimes will just jump to full screen and start playing the audio, and you're like, no, don't do that, because I don't want them to know I'm not paying attention. So
So Facebook Live is awesome. And I was gonna try to watch both at the same time, but I can't. I'm not a good multitasker. So our good friend Jay was actually the founder of Social Media Church Podcast. DJ Chuang is having a rough time. And so he's been a good friend of you and I. He's actually, I think, who introduced us.
Yeah.
And it was dinner at your house where we kind of did the handoff of the podcast unexpectedly. When I was sick about 3 years ago, I still remember on the Social Media Church Podcast, being in the hospital and DJ on that week's episode prayed over me. And that it was so meaningful to me. I still remember it. And DJ is having a rough time. He's pretty openly shared about his struggles with being bipolar and mental health. And so it's not a secret, but he's on a rough time. And so honestly, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know he needs our prayers. And so I think, I'll pray on behalf of DJ and our whole community. We hope you guys will continue to pray, but let's pray together as we start this podcast. Father God, thank you, for the privilege of knowing DJ, and partnering with DJ in so many areas. But God, we care way more about who DJ is than what he does. And we want to lift him up to you. We pray for the doctors, and we pray for his wife and his son and his friends that will gather around him in the coming days. And just pray that you use them to lift him up. And God, we care so much about him, and we know you care even more about him. And so we lift him up to you and just pray your blessing and healing on his life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We love you, DJ. I know that I've had some family experience with mental illness, and it's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that's real. I know my church is very big on breaking that stigma. And so we love you, DJ. We're praying for you, man. So this, what we wanted to do this week is, I've been doing this thing on my own site where I've been interviewing. It's my funnel series where I'm interviewing different churches, how they do church online. And so we're going to take a little bit of I'm going to hijack this for my own thing. And I wanted to talk to the great.
And I got a question. So you shared with me recently, like, the website traffic you're getting. And so this is so exciting to me, because we've been pushing the online church conversation for so long. And it feels like it's been this, like, slow drag, but now I feel like it's got everyone's attention.
Yeah.
And people are really paying attention to it. I'd love to hear from you before we get into this conversation.
Yeah.
What do you think is stirring that excitement? You know, why are so many people now paying attention to online church?
I just think that there's a lot more people, you know, there's been so many cool things done with church online, with, like, the church online platform that Life Church did. There's so many cool, there are easy ways for streaming, you know, the guys at streaming, StreamMonkey that we love. Facebook Live has brought up the conversation, because more people are like, oh, wow, like, this is super easy. And actually, with, like, StreamMonkey, you can Facebook Live through their platform. You can push it to a lot of different places. But I think there's just a lot more people having honest conversations of, like, how do you integrate this into your overall church strategy? And I think there's just more thoughtful. I just earlier today, I was talking to Alec Todd at E91 Christian Church, like, how, like, they're not necessarily just jumping into live streaming. They're thinking about this digital local fusion strategy of, like, how do we make sure that no matter what we do, we're providing a digital expression, because the people we're reaching locally also live their lives online partly. And so if we're thinking about reaching the people in our community, online isn't just for those who are far away. It's everything. So I think it's just the church is, like, I think more realizing of, like, okay, it's not just this page on our site, but it's everything that we're doing. And so I think that's the big thing. And I think there's been a lot of, you know, because Saddleback has been doing home groups so long and online groups, community expressions, I think there's just a lot of interest in what we do. And I've known a lot of churches who've been doing this for a long time. And I think there's been a lot of interest of, like, okay, let me just start interviewing my friends of like highlighting their overall funnel. Don't just throw up a stream. Think about it from start to end. So I think that's,
I love it.
So with that, what I wanted to do is kind of turn the tables a little bit and talk to the great Neil Smith. You talk to churches, you have been consulting churches for a long time about Church Online. It's something that you do at Dunham & Company. And so what I wanted to do is kind of ask you these questions from your perspective, how you would consult a church to think about. Obviously, not every church can afford you, my friend.
So expensive.
So just thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. And if you want, you can hire them. But what I wanted to do is just like almost like get your opinion from your perspective of like just jumpstart. So I'm going to ask you these questions from the perspective of how you would consult a church to think about this. Okay. You in?
Yep. And I haven't heard these questions before, so we're on the spot.
Okay. So first off, how would you consult a church or tell a church to think about their church online? Should it be local, global, or both?
It depends. I mean, it really depends on your mission and vision. I think it can be either or. My passion is global. I think you can take your local church global by using the internet. And so I have a hard time understanding not taking advantage of the globalization of the internet and the ministry opportunity there. But I do know that there are churches that are say, you know, are calling us to this geographic area. And if you don't have a calling to the globe, you know, to the whole world through that, that's fine. If God's clear in that direction for you, you can still use the internet to help reach your geographic area that God's called you to. So it can be neither or, but my recommendation is 95%, 99% of the time, open up the doors to see what God does and where God leads it.
Yeah. And when you started doing church online at onlinechurch.com, you know, at CBC, it was very much like you guys were a church based out of San Antonio, a very large church, but then it became, you had this huge international draw. And I've already interviewed Chris Tripudi, who's doing it there. Like, it's just like crazy that you guys thought local probably like very early on as the switches were turning, but then you had like, it was just thousands of like hundreds of people watching in the Philippines that were engaging.
Yeah, all over. I mean, I think Pakistan, India, the Philippines, Indonesia were our top countries, you know, that were engaged. And like the United States was fifth in our reach. And that was intentional. I mean, our goal was to reach people we couldn't otherwise reach. And so if somebody could drive to our church, we wanted them to drive to the church. We felt like that was a better church experience for them. But we wanted to take our local church global, and we wanted to reach people we couldn't otherwise reach.
So so platform-wise, where would you have them do their church online experience? And then who would you go as a streaming provider? And you don't need to be biased on any, just who would you choose right now?
So I would still say it depends. I would say for most churches, I would recommend starting on Facebook Live. I think Facebook Live is basically a plug and play, you know, platform where people are already engaged. And so utilize that it doesn't take training to get people used to Facebook Live. Facebook is training them on how to use that platform. So that would be my recommendation to most churches. If you, though, want to control the experience and have better calls to action, things like that, I think the Church Online platform is the place to go. It's free. Life Church has put so much into it from a back-end perspective, support perspective. I love the mobile movement that they shifted to in their development. I think they're moving into VR. So I think the Church Online platform is excellent. We used Media Social for many years. I loved that platform. But if I were deciding between the two, I'd choose the Church Online platform at this point because of so much of their developments recently. But Facebook Live, I think, is the core place I would go. StreamMonkey is the streaming provider that I continue to recommend to so many.
Yeah,
they're great Christian guys with a heart for ministry. Their platform, they've got their platform can go virtual reality. Their platform can plug with Facebook, and their platform integrates with our TV apps. Yeah. It's just a great platform that utilizes the Akamai network. So it's so scalable the way it's set up. So it's affordable. They've got great analytics. So yeah, StreamMonkey, Facebook Live, Church Online platform.
And then what would you tell somebody as like their crowd to core strategy as you developed? Now, obviously I'm curious about this. You know, if you were, let's say you go down the street, you take over as innovation pastor at a church down the street from you, what would you recommend their crowd to core strategy, meaning new person all the way into like fully bought in? Would it be like a service and do some kind of classes into groups, online groups? Like what would be kind of high level that experience for a new person?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I think you in many ways have to model it after the church. And how does your church disciple people, moving people from somebody who is far from God to somebody who is leading others to Christ? Does that make sense? And fully committed, sharing their faith and serving the body of Christ. So I would, you know, if I were to be very tactical, I would start on Facebook. I would use Facebook ads to drive to a Facebook page, to engage them and build community, to work to convert them. So conversion is I would say the word here at Dunham Company that I'm learning over and over again is conversion. And what we often want to do is we want to convert people, make a decision to follow Jesus, but that's it. It's kind of like, oh, we got somebody to check a box saying, yes, I accepted Jesus, but we stop there. And I think you convert from a Facebook ad to a Facebook engagement, to a Facebook, you know, relationship, to, you know, an email address, and that email address, you can connect them into a Facebook group. I would move them into a Facebook, a group that is having video conferencing to personalize the experience, moving them from that into, you know, a church membership, or a leadership, you know, role within your online church community. And then, yeah, I mean, I think that would be kind of the core process, but I'd keep them Facebook, email, but try to continue to deepen the relationship in every way possible.
Would you recommend a church online? Like, would you try to build stuff on like Kajabi, like a learning platform or some sort? Like, would you be doing something like that?
You know, I'm a tinker. So yeah, I think a platform like Kajabi makes a lot of sense. You're using ClickFunnels, I think, in a really unique and effective way. So I think using some things outside a Facebook is a good idea, but I try to keep it as simple as possible, utilizing Facebook as much as possible with Facebook pages, Facebook groups, yeah, your Facebook profile to personally connect. But understanding too that to get direct communication, getting an email address is so valuable. So if you can do everything between Facebook and email, I think you can really have a deep level of engagement. And then I would say from a personal experience, using Zoom video conferencing as a place to really deepen the relationships and connection, because there's nothing like face-to-face interaction.
Did you see that thing that, I don't know, it was probably actually in a Facebook group that we're in somewhere. We're in like thousands, I feel like, but like the, I saw somewhere where now you can build a Facebook ad in MailChimp. Did you see that?
Yeah. So we're actually doing that for some clients.
Oh, sweet.
It's, you know, really Facebook, and a lot of people will say Facebook ads are complicated, and they kind of have become that way. The way they've set it up with Business Manager and Ads Manager, it used to be very simple. And now, because so many agencies, like we are running so many different campaigns, they've made them more complex, and they really, the opportunities are more complex. So MailChimp, I think MailChimp has been genius in the way they've taken something complex like email marketing, which doesn't seem complex anymore because MailChimp has made it seem so simple, and they've taken a complex platform, made it simple for the end users. And they're doing the same thing now with Facebook ads, knowing that so many people that are wanting to build an email list are doing that through Facebook ads. So they're wanting to make the integration as seamless as possible. And so it's genius. We're experimenting with it. And what we're finding so far is it really is simple.
I haven't had a great experience with like capturing emails on Facebook for some reason. It hasn't been something that I know, like I've heard people, you know, our friend Brady at Pro Church Tools, yeah. Oh man, I should have called it Church Pro Tools just to tick him off. But so dang it. You're just so good at what you do, Brady, that I'm sorry. I just want to harass.
His podcast is named the number one church technology podcast out there, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
Well, we're actually the number one Lakers Spurs podcast, which
is true. Tools.
It's anyways. So
I'm going to speak, I got to go on a tangent, Jay, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
On that list of top 10 church technology podcast, they said, it'll probably take them 5 minutes or so to actually talk about church technology. But once they get past that, they'll talk about church technology. So whoever created that, I love it. And I love that you actually pay attention that it takes us 5 minutes to talk about nothing before we talk about something.
I love it. But like the email capture is a big thing because I mean, and so, you know, obviously we're doing this unique where it's being streamed on our social media church podcast, but I'm using it on my personal series here that I'm doing on my website. But you know, capturing emails, I've heard from a lot of people, is a lot more where people are trying to move towards, so that, you know, instead of throwing somebody into an online church experience, it's you're having more on-demand personal connections and doing email leads where maybe it's a 1 minute video that generates a conversation over an email or a drip campaign on, you know, MailChimp.
Yep.
It's where it's happening. But Facebook is, I think, understanding that more, that like capturing emails is where people want, you know, people are willing to open up their wallet, you know, on that. But, you know, on views on a video, it's just tough. But I need to experiment. So I think I'm kind of curious, as you guys mess with that, we need to be talking about that
more. So we're doing a ton of lead ads for a lot of clients using Facebook lead ads option. So basically what it does is, historically what people did with Facebook ads is they would use external link ads, take you to a landing page or a lead page. And that there would be some kind of reason of like, download our book and, you know, put it in your name.
You would have to set up the DNS so that it doesn't show like the long link. And
that's So with lead ads, it's actually like a little like pop out within Facebook, you know, so you see the ad, it actually captures the name and email or whatever information you want in that ad. And you only pay per person that actually gives you their information. So it's fascinating, and it will auto populate with their Facebook information. So it's easier for the end user too. So we're finding a ton of success around capturing email. I think what churches don't do well online, Jay, is they don't think about the conversion process. They don't think, they just kind of think, oh, they saw my video on YouTube. Great. That was a ministry win. And it is a ministry win, but where are you trying to lead them? Is that it? Did you just want them to watch a video, or do you want to build a relationship with them? And I think church is about relationships. We should be the most proactive in converting to a deeper relationship. So an email is the most significant way that we've learned online to do that, and the next step to take.
What I love is, so I love that idea of conversion and really thinking through, and it's okay. You might have 5,000 people watching your services live on your church online page. That's great. But how many of those people are going deeper into your process and having that process, and thinking about the conversions and the loss rates? Because it's not, again, at the end of the day, you're not going to baptize all 4,000, you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, but you might be able to baptize, you know, 30%. And by critiquing the conversion funnel, you know, you figure out the loss rate. Cause I think that's where we get so focused on, how do we increase 30% of our weekend attendance? But at the end of the day, it's like, yes, that's part of it. But at the end of the day, what we really want is that we want to increase 50% of the people that get baptized every year. And what does it look like to, you know, backtrack that?
I think the key is don't skip steps, you know, like this is a process and it's a journey with Jesus. And some people might work out of your process and they might just jump to attending, to leading, you know, like they maybe are a mature believer and they just now found you, and, or they're, you know, even in your physical church, they might've moved from Phoenix to Orange County and they're ready to just jump into leadership, but that's not the norm. I mean, I think the norm is, you start a relationship, you get to know Jesus, you get into Bible study, you have an intentional path for people to take. And if you don't have an intentional path, they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You have to give them that path. They might work around it a little bit, but those are exceptions. Those aren't the norms, but you define as the leader the path you want them to take and the conversion steps in each of those steps in that process.
So do I owe you $2,000 now? Like, how much do I owe you for that?
It's actually about $3,500.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get a text from somebody from Dunn, and like you have like a publicist. Please never ask that of Niels ever again.
We actually just send invoices directly. So just check your email.
So my Venmo or is going to be pinged. I want to know the emojis on my Venmo for that one. Like cash. It's like, anyways, so last question, last question. What is the tool that you wish you had when you started church online? Okay. Okay. What I don't want you to say, because everybody has said this, I swear the last three people I've interviewed have said this, Facebook Live. Do not say that. We understand Facebook Live is important.
Yeah.
Say your second response.
Zoom. No doubt. Zoom. And I would say it's a close right there with Facebook Live.
Yeah.
I would probably put it higher because while I'm sold on Facebook Live as a reach aspect, I'm not sold on Facebook Live as conversion.
Gotcha.
Just like Facebook Donate, we're not pushing our clients there. It's very interesting, but it's not the best place to give donations. Facebook Live, a lot of opportunity, but the conversion process, they make it challenging. So I would say Zoom has personalized my online relationships like nothing else. Huh. And so utilizing Zoom when it comes to online groups, we tried so hard to use Google Hangouts. We tried to use iChat. I don't remember all these different tools we did, that we could not do video conferencing well for groups or just leadership trainings.
Yeah.
Zoom is such a good technology to build relationships and interact with other people. Zoom webinars for big groups, Zoom, you know, for small groups, for one-on-one interactions. I just think if you're an online pastor, Zoom should be your best friend.
Yeah. We're starting to, actually, I just had a leadership meeting last night, and we're talking about like doing a hybrid where we're going to have group conversations, but Facebook Live them at the same time.
Interesting.
And so like, you know, trying to model, you know, what we want them to do. And so, yeah. Because there's still some stuff we're trying to figure out, but I think Zoom's live feed stuff that we're trying out right now.
Yeah.
It really is, you know, it really is cool. And I know Facebook is doing some stuff with group calling and stuff that we're trying to, you know, leverage more and figure out more. But okay.
This kind of technology is really challenging. And I think that's what Skype had a hard time with. I think that's like, even we use Facebook Workplace and there's group video conferencing within that. It's buggy. I mean, Zoom is so seamless. It's so smooth. It's so easy for most users. I've become so sold on Zoom. It's not, the thing is, it's not complicated. Like, it doesn't seem that complicated.
It's not. It's
so easy to use.
So, okay. So, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Neil's site, neilsmith.com, right? Neil Smith. I'm saying that, right?
Neilsmith.com. Yeah.
So he's got a whole TV app series, that he's talking about how to leverage TV apps. There's some real cool stuff, challenging stuff for those who are doing church online to think about community experiences. I think that's like, it's hard because we get so wrapped up in the world when and everything, but think about deepen your funnel. Neil's worth $1,000,000,000,000 to interview you for my funnel series. So go check out jcrana.com to check out our course. Check out my course. I unpack this, and also go to socialmedia.church to learn more about our show and everything, to check out future. We're probably gonna get better at like letting people know when we're gonna Facebook Live and not just randomly drop it. But you know, we're kind of spontaneous. So
yeah, that's kind of guys we are, Jay.
Yeah. So guys, thanks so much for listening this week.